All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, buddy, slather yourself in surgery pus and come into my surgery theater.
Ooh, fun. Oh, I have to come in pre-pussed?
Yeah, come in pre-pussed.
Okay.
Leave your legs at the door, because you and I are going to have a quaddo adventure. I'm going to sew you onto my chest.
Oh, great. All right, yeah, well.
And somehow, it's going to help us determine which game to play.
Okay, cool. Well, bye-bye, legs.
Yep.
Bye-bye, happiness. I wish that I was dead. All right.
Yeah. That's okay. You don't need those parts. I'll leave you with your dinger.
Okay.
We'll be...
Oh, no.
I mean, what if I had a penis? It'd be the worst. I just like it.
Well, you said it, so it's illegally binding. All right. So
do you think Quado is like the larval form of those gigantic greasy babies from Nothing But Trouble?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
He's going to butt off of that dude. Yeah. Both him and Master Blaster.
Yeah.
There's different forms. It's like how the facehugger turns into a xenomorph.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Let me get some thread real quick.
Okay. Cool. I'm bleeding out pretty bad here, so
that's okay.
I really wish
use my blood.
Hurry. Okay. All right. Wait a minute. Are we compatible? Do we have the same? Oh no, Gary.
God damn it. Why didn't you bring that up before?
Oh no. Oh, it's coagulating so bad. Oh, I'm dying, Gary. That's my last breath. Tell me which game we're doing.
Oh, fuck. I randomized earlier and I read it wrong.
What?
So I thought we'd have a quaddo adventure, but it's supposed to be quattro adventure. Fuck. Ow.
Silent there, but because I was dead. Yeah, and but then my legs revived me. There was enough of my good blood to counteract your bad blood. Yeah.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
You're listening to Abject Suffering, the show where sometimes we suggest games ourselves.
Yeah, sometimes we call our own shots. And this is something different. You decided, hey, we only get to pick one of these every other month individually, mm-hmm. So why don't we cram four different games into one? So I'm on to you, Butterfield.
Well, it's not. I mean, I'm mostly choosing for this stuff I used to have because it's like an excuse to revisit things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's like, oh, yeah. And I had this Nintendo cart, which is very weird. And I wanted a chance to revisit it because I didn't remember it being so bad. And I thought between four things, we have four different digressionary paths. So if the games get boring,
okay,
you know, we can do a tight half hour on boomerangs.
Gary, I've got at least 45 minutes on boomerangs.
Yeah, I think I feel like, you know, we might even have to spread off into its own podcast, Slang and Rings. Good day. My name is Gary Butterfield.
And today we're slanging rangs.
And we're talking rangs on yep. Slang and Rangs.
Bloody Chunder.
Yeah, indeed.
It's like the idea of not even putting on an accent. Yeah.
Good day.
Good day, mate.
Good day. Would you like to have a shrimp on the barbecue?
Yeah. Crikers.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry to all of our Australian listeners.
Yeah, we don't mean anything by it, Liam.
Sorry, I was about to do another egg joke, but that is for nobody. So
yeah, that's true.
Nobody else suggested this, by the way.
Oh well, that's interesting. But yeah, they're rare, but also not expensive. I don't see them very often, but like
okay.
They're also, you know, I've never seen one at a Retro Game Expo.
Okay.
And I kind of kept an eye out because, again, this thing I had like a little bit of affection for. I've seen Quattro Sports
because
there's a whole Quattro series.
They're actually pretty attractive carts. Like they've got that non-standard. Yeah, they're kind of metallic.
Mm-hmm. And then they have like these little four covers that are set up as like a quad trick, you know, like a triptych, but four. They kind of just show these kind of attractive graphics that look like real video games.
Mm-hmm.
And then inside, though, they are weird kind of budget games that I won't go as far as to say they're like literally without any care,
right?
Because it's like, I don't think these are like, we played worse things on the show. These are not good,
right?
On revisit, but it was good enough for me when I was young to be like, oh, this is fine. You know, this will take my time for a little bit. Yeah, when you get four of them, which is an appealing thing.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, it's like the 1001 versions of Tetris that you get from the fundraiser, from the magazine sale.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these are not so
Action
much
52.
These are not so much bad, but they're proof that you know, at least I have developed this immediate sense for whether or not something was originally a an Amiga or ZX Spectrum game.
Yeah, your Codemaster DAR going off. Like, oh, this is a Codemaster joint.
Yep. So like, you know, these are not bad. They're just outdated.
Yeah,
even by the time this came out.
And varying degrees of that too.
Yeah.
You know, like they go in kind of order of rising sophistication. you know, as we, you know, as you kind of select through them. Mm-hmm. The weird thing, one thing about the cart is that it has a little black switch on the back of the cart that did nothing as far as I could tell. Maybe it was a region thing.
Gary, you turned off somebody's life support with that.
That's right. It was the button from what's his head's the button. Follow up to Donnie Darko's the button. Is that what that's called? The box? The box.
I have no fucking idea. The guy, what you're talking about.
It's based on a Twilight Zone. It's presented with a box, and it's like.
Wait a minute. So we just found something out. If I get you angry, you turn into Alex Jones.
You're just saying that because Jeffrey Vandegoot called me that on Twitter.
What? No, I didn't see that at all.
They said that about the abject suffering where we talked about axes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so no, I didn't see them say that, but yeah, that just, you know, maybe I should tell you something.
Only a Sith thinks that I'm Alex Jones about Star Wars twist. That's right. Those things are bad guys. I don't know.
The Sith are the bad ones. They've got the robes. Okay. Not the brown robes. They've got the robes that go over their heads. They've got the hooded robes. Cowls. Yeah, cowls.
Yeah. They think cowls are bad because they haven't seen fucking Batman in the Star Wars-iverse.
Yes.
Anywho,
if you think about Boba Fett, that's kind of the Batman of the Star Wars-iverse.
He looks like a bunch of PVC pipe that was like.
Because everything in this goddamn movie looks like a bunch of PVC pipe.
They're bad. We already did that. We did just it. Came out. It, we
can, yeah.
Like, but yes, everything looks like PVC pipe. Because
I was agreeing with you.
What? No, I'm just saying. I'm furiously agreeing with you. I just don't want to go into it again.
Okay. Yeah.
What I was going to say though is there's that movie that's the box where the couple's presented with the box and you compress it. And someone you don't know dies, and you get $1 million.
Oh yeah, okay.
And it's like that ethical consideration. It's based on a Richard Matheson short story, mm-hmm. And it's like the couple. I've never actually seen the movie. I just know the moral conundrum.
Right.
And I don't know if the person did the right thing, which is press it five times, then throw it away. Which is like the morally right thing to do in that situation.
But you set up a drinky bird.
Just like, and then you're a regular Wall Street kid. My castle. I think that's what that switch probably did though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've definitely pressed it more than five times.
Oh yeah.
Maybe there's like a bank account like under like it, if I go somewhere it's under like Quattro Adventure_Gary_Butterfield and that has my millions of dollars I got for turning off that person's life support.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody has one of those accounts at Quattro Adventure, but it's only under your full name, capitalized, not okay. The actual name that the government gives you, because that is a contract between you and the corporation that is the government on the land, as opposed to your actual rights, which are, you know, at the sea.
Yeah. These fuckers literally mastered code. Don't question them.
Yep. I think I got my soft shit, all the way backwards.
Oh,
yeah.
Let's talk about these games.
Yeah. So there are four of them. In a surprising twist. Adventure means fun. These are all you know, kind of platformer kind of things. So these are not like, you know, four different like. Princess Salad in the Tomato Kingdom, yeah. Or whatever. No.
Let's go through them. Let's go through them in the order that's on the wiki.
Okay. Yep.
Starting again in rising sophistication.
Yes.
Boomerang Kid is probably the simplest one.
Yes. This is an Amiga game that is a single screen kind of puzzle platformer where you can die if you fall more than your character's height. So yes. That classic conundrum.
it is just like, yeah, it's just like a little platformer. Like, I don't know if there are puzzles in it. It's just little like,
yeah, that's what I mean. Things. Yeah. But like figuring out how to navigate, and like oftentimes you only have like a half tile worth of leeway for a drop that you can take. And like, you can kind of get yourself caught like a cat in a tree, you know?
It's pretty hateful. Like
it is a strict master.
The designs are kind of funny on like, I think the third level, I didn't see this alligator that like blended in the background.
Oh yeah.
And when I stepped on him, he looks real cute, and he looks at the camera like, did I do that? Like after like you step on his back and explode or whatever happens to the boomerang kid.
Yeah, well, he does that old video game thing of like spinning around on the Z-axis and then just disappearing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So he just Collins bears out.
I think it's very funny that Boomerang Kid never fires a boomerang.
Oh no, he's just collecting them. He's stockpiling them. Yeah,
he just likes them. I don't know, they're just weird.
that's the thing. Like Machine Gun Joe. Well, what kind of game is that? That's like an accounting simulator.
Yeah, it's a number muncher. Except all the numbers represent numbers of machine guns you have.
Yep. Yeah. Which I got, yeah, I was kind of disappointed with that, because the idea of playing like a boomerang based, you know, combat platformer like this kind of seemed fun. Yeah. I'm down for a boomerang, and this is very much from that era, at least in America. I don't know if this was the case in Britain where this was surely developed, but that brief fascination with Australian culture.
Oh yeah, and boomerangs. Like I mean, like, oh, yeah. I had a boomerang.
Oh yeah.
And it like never worked.
I think that we were sold a bill of goods how boomerangs work. They're always fun to throw because it's fun to throw something spinny like that.
It's also just kind of fun to throw things, if we're being honest.
I mean, yeah, it's a frisbee meant for hunting, I don't know, outback gazelle. I have no idea, but it's a frisbee meant for hunting kangaroo.
Yeah.
Oh, did you ever have one of those three pronged
the like, triple play?
Yep, the triple threat. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't talk. I'm three playing. Yeah. No, yeah. It was like a Nerf what were those footballs that had the fucking kind of like propeller at the back of it? Not a propeller.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I can't remember what they were called. It was like that, except it was a Nerf boomerang that had three prongs on it. And like that would come right the fuck back at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty neat. Like it would come like back towards you. Like I could never catch it, you know, but it would kind of come in the same general direction as me.
But like the sense that I got was, you know, the native people of Australia would like work their entire lives to train to like do that
like,
thing
get
right.
Good at that.
And yeah. I basically treated it like I did, you know, the skateboard that I got, which is I'm not immediately good at this, so it's therefore bullshit. It, yeah,
your CB
yeah.
radio.
Yeah, I'll throw this directly into the lake and hope it never comes back.
I'm a fool to think anyone would want nude pictures of Whoopi Goldberg. I just like the idea that he just collects boomerangs,
of course,
and doesn't want them.
Yeah,
I just do it, he doesn't throw them.
He's a collector. He's a consummate collector.
Yeah. Next up, Super Robin Hood, which is kind of my jam. Like I think Super Robin Hood's okay. I think the game is very funny because your Robin Hood sprite, it does exactly the, you know, the shitty thing that example that showed Rocky, or not Rocky, Rambo.
Oh yeah.
Where it's like, you know, he has the outline, mm-hmm. but he's constantly checking in with the player. Like, did you see that shit I did?
Yeah.
But the animation is very funny.
Oh yeah. He's definitely Commander Keening for our benefit.
It looks over at you and just like, hee hee, like it is coquettish in a way that I think is very like funny.
Yeah. He's just a little stinker is what he is.
Yeah.
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 No, but
he's Super Robin Hood.
But I really love this kind of like restrained platformer that is, you mm-hmm. know, you're just kind of going along on a horizontal and navigating these ladders and these platforms and, you know, using your like you're charging up your bow. Like, I think this is pretty fun. It feels like something that would have been represented in a Game Center CX.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. You do, you know, and it's kind of like a Metroidvania kind of thing mm-hmm. in that, like, you go around getting keys that unlock new areas of the game. For you. So yeah. It's not strictly room by room. Like you can also, there's a little bit of like moving around because you're trying to collect all the treasure.
Right.
In this kind of big, not open world exactly, but like not exactly not that either.
I mean, it's not strictly linear.
Yes. Yeah. There are like little like weird kind of, you know, reflex challenges and stuff because Super Robin Hood, in addition to having his bow, has like a slide Like, he can run and slide, and it's a very funny slide that goes for a long time. but you have to like get through puzzles. It's intentional. It's not just slot, you know?
Yeah, no, that took me a while to kind of grasp. Like, you get to a place where you have to do that in order to go on. Mm-hmm. And it's not entirely clear without without a manual.
He's got a weird sense of momentum to him too. Like, it takes a while for him to charge up.
Yeah.
To get to full speed, and like, that takes a little while to get used to. Like, it doesn't feel that good in your hands, but it's kind of not a bad game.
Right.
This was the one. This and Line of Space Head were the two I spent the most time with when I was young.
Mm-hmm. This has some meat on its bones. Actually, yeah. I dig this a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, man, this just reminds me, I need to like put this on a short list, or at least go back and try it out. There was a Robin Hood game for Game Boy. I think it was a tie in with like the Prince of Thieves movie.
Mm-hmm.
Weirdly enough, that was like an action RPG. I played this with my cousin had it. I was like, oh, let's play me a Robin Hood, thinking that it was going to be like the Disney Robin Hood. It would have cool songs and stuff, but no, it was like an action RPG ass weird numbers based game that I had no point of reference for. I need to go back and actually see if that is as terrible as I remember it being, or if it was just NES I wasn't ready for it.
Robin Hood is that as well. It's an isometric RPG. It's real weird.
Yeah,
I also want to give that a shot at some point. And like, we've done kind of our Fast Five on Robin Hood, but I think that could make it as an excuse to try to play that on here. I think that both versions are legendarily bad games, but I think would be at least interesting.
Yeah. I'm just curious about that. I have not thought about Robin Hood at all. But this, makes me curious about it.
Yeah. I can't not think about Robin Hood. He's good. At the end, when you get there, Maid Marian, I watched a speed run of it.
Okay.
You run up to Maid Marian, you give her a little kiss on the cheek, and then you do your little like look towards the camera.
Oh, does he get an eyebrow waggle?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't have brows. But then he stands there while it shows the fireworks, and it shows the kind of just ending text, and you just kind of stand there giving her little kisses and looking at the camera, and it's kind of cute.
Oh,
like, I kind of like it. Like, it's like, wow, nice Super Robin Hood.
There's like a crazy story about the creation of this game too.
Super Robin Hood?
Yeah, because like this was made by the Oliver twins, who were just like these brothers who were incredibly prolific, but like they got 10,000. I guess like pounds, maybe. I can never tell which symbol that is. And like they worked for 10,000 lorries. They worked for 18 to 23 hours per day. They took 30-minute breaks to allow for the computer to cool. And sometimes one brother coded on paper while the other used the computer. So
pretty bonkers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it's very, very weird. And they also, the company that they were involved with, like, was active way later than you maybe think.
Yeah.
Like, they were involved in the creation of Karaoke Revolution.
Yep.
Which, like, I played a lot of that game. you know, so it's pretty, you know, it's mostly like ZX Spectrum kind of Commodore, you know, kind of stuff.
Yeah,
64 stuff and kind of British computer stuff. You know, they're responsible for almost all the Dizzy franchise or involved in it. but it is these guys are pretty interesting.
Yeah. Also,
they're just called the Oliver twins.
Yeah, like just these two dudes. Like, maybe they brought some help in, but at the time they were 17 when they were doing this.
That's
crazy. What are you doing with your life?
The picture, there's if you search them. Okay. There's fun pictures of them as well.
Oh, wow.
Because there's like a really cute picture of them with Blitz Entertainment with a little like Dizzy.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of stand that they made. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're identical. Right. You know, so they're identical twins. They're not just those shit kind. like, you know, the garbage twins, one of which should have been resorbed.
Good
in the room,
God.
You know.
All right.
Like, identical or get out. Like, if there's like two, if you're choosing, there's like three types of twins, like regular, conjoined and identical, and like of those, like identical are 100% the coolest.
I mean they're the most. I can't go on this ride with you, Gary. I think twins are more common than you think they are. I think that if it was a fight, but well, Gary, I'm not gonna join you, so if you piss off a set of twins, it's gonna be 2-on-1.
I prefer twins. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get some twin action. I want one of those weird sets of twins where like it's a guy and a girl, and the girl kind of looks like an androgynous version of the guy.
Mm.
and they're just gonna fight fuck me until dawn. I don't actually want that. I'm just talking to
die. Hey Gary, who's this for?
I don't know. Somebody thought that was funny, probably.
Yeah, I did. I mean,
yeah, maybe not, but like it's you know, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, this point at year, I'm giving it some effort. The
Look Spirata. At them eating some McDonald's. Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cute, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Treasure Island Dizzy. We've done a Dizzy game for this.
Yes, we have. I cannot remember which one.
It very well could have been Treasure Island Dizzy. I don't know which Dizzy we did.
It's like Dizzy's, the Fantastic Adventures of Dizzy.
Yeah. And yeah. Dizzy, you know, Dizzy's problematic. We talked a lot about Dizzy then, I think.
I think it sounds like he's a war criminal.
Like, Dizzy, it turned out Dizzy paid some guys $5 to hold up a sign that said death to all yokes. So it's he's not okay.
Yeah, he does come from the kingdom of yoke folks. So
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a this was like Codemaster's mascot.
Right.
And it was in lots of games. And the big problem with this is it's kind of an interesting inventory adventure game where you can only carry three items at a time and they're always in the same order. So to like, you just have one button that just cycles through picking up, moving over to three slots and dropping.
Yeah.
So it becomes a real, real pain to play any of these games.
Yep. And it's mixed in with a pretty shitty platformer.
Yeah, it's real weird.
I do love the jump animation in this, though, where he just kind of does like these really lazy cartwheels.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, no. But I didn't get too terribly far in this. Was this something that you had any fun with as a little kid?
I tried to. Like, I tried to get into it because I liked adventure games.
Right.
You know, this was I like love Maniac Mansion and stuff, but this was too unfriendly for me to get into. And you die all the time.
Yeah.
And it, like, it's full of instant death. It doesn't set you back very far, but it starts you right next to water, and immediately if you walk to the right, you just drown as soon as you touch it. Like, yep. You know, in exactly the way that eggs don't.
Oh, of course, yeah. Well, if the egg floats, he'd be rotten, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, as we mentioned, Dizzy is rotten to the core.
Rotten to the fucking core.
Yeah, I've read in Wall Street Journal.
Oh, that's a weird way. Like, if my eggs are questionable, I essentially put them through the same, like, trials as a witch.
And not that far removed from the trials of cooking them. Like, to an alien, they wouldn't understand, like,
well, what I was
doing.
You
put this egg in water, and this egg is bad, and you put it in the garbage, but this egg is good, and you put it in your belly. Like, an alien would have no conception of your relationship to eggs, Cole.
No, they wouldn't. Like, it's kind of a nightmare.
God, life is complicated. It's a lot sometimes, you know?
Yeah, it really is. Sometimes it's too much.
Yeah. Wow.
Gary, it's all too much. It's so much.
It is all too much.
Yeah.
And then Linus Spacehead, which is the other one I played a lot. I think there's only one song in this, and I think it's legitimately kind of good.
Gary, I didn't get this at all. I thought this was the worst thing on the game on the cart. I don't understand Linus Spacehead.
He's a little rebel.
Like, I understand he's a mascot.
Okay.
He's from the planet Linoleum.
he's from the planet Linoleum. It's just a little platformer,
right?
Like it's just you get hit once you die.
Right.
But you just have to dodge things and jump on stuff.
Right. It's a platformer. At least in the first level, I could only jump, let's say, one half of a Linus height.
Yeah, Linus can't jump very, very high. In the first level, did you figure out the mechanic of the first level at all, or did you just die from like not being able to jump?
Oh yeah, I definitely got up. Like I rode the bubbles up, and then I got to the second screen, and my time was up.
Okay. Yeah, you just had to be. I mean, quicker.
Yeah.
You just had to be more lead at Linus Spacehead than. You had to be as cool.
Oh no! Like I didn't like run out of breath. I was like, okay, well, I'm done. I have interest in because I tested again. Like, oh, is that jump height a problem of being underwater? It turns out absolutely not. That is just the way that he controls.
Yeah, he doesn't. You have a very like a super super limited shitty jump. And that's kind of his deal. And you just kind of dodge stuff and move around. But I think when I was younger, it made an impression on me because it was the first time I heard that weird C64 tremolo kind of thing. So the music in this game I really like, and it has this like that weird C64 effect to the sound. I don't really know how to describe it exactly.
I wonder how they emulated that on NES, because like my understanding is that was a peculiarity to the hardware.
It's not unique to this, but I think the other game that had it was another Codemasters game that I played where I was like, oh, it makes that sound. So maybe it was like a proprietary chip kind of thing. But there's just a sound to the synth.
Yeah, I cut in a little snippet so people can hear what we're talking about.
Yeah, I just kind of dig it. So I think I mostly just wanted to listen to the music, which is not like melodically complex or good. It's just kind of like a little goofy bass line but the chord sounded really cool.
Yeah,
to me. So I wasn't
that into Linus Bass Head. I thought that it was a bad platformer, even if that opening gimmick was kind of okay. It just felt like a little bit too like random. You know, you were counting on the bubbles coming up in a certain pattern, so that you would always have something to jump to.
There's some stressful that are involved. That's not untrue. And then once you get up above, it's not like a great platformer. It's just like you just dodge things.
Right.
You know, but I never beat it, but I got fairly far in it when I was younger. I have no idea why.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the music, and the same song plays for the entire thing. I never changed.
Because of course it does.
Yeah. Well, that's true of all these games.
Yeah.
And the music for Linus Bass Head, I like, and then the Super Robin Hood theme is not so bad. The Boomerang Kid and Adventure Island or Treasure Island Dizzy.
Oh, it's super. It's like three notes.
Yeah. It's pretty rough.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that was the place where they would cut corners on these things, and that is regrettable.
Yeah, they tried to make Linus Spacehead into its own thing because there's a sequel called Linus Spacehead's Cosmic Crusade, which is an adventure game.
Huh.
That didn't take off.
No, because they thought that like the Disney train or not Dizzy, the Dizzy train was losing steam. So we got to hop to Linus because like Linus, totally something else.
Listen, other execs.
Listen, Schultz.
Had a great fall.
Gonna come up and just kidney punch Schultz until he gives up the name Linus.
I don't think he has the name copyrighted. Like if you're born and your name is, you know, there are people named Linus.
I mean,
I don't think he made that up for the cartoon.
You belong to Schultz.
And like if your baby name is Snoopy, like if you name your baby Snoopy Butterfield.
I was about to say, I'm positive there's somebody named Snoopy, but then I remembered Snoop Dogg. So,
oh sure. Snoopy Dogg. Yeah.
You seen the video, the Snoopy Poop Dog video. Just look it up. It's a very short video of an older lawmaker who was going online talking about the how outrageous kids media was. It's no wonder there's so much violence among the youth. You know, they don't send thank you cards. They spend their days listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Poop Dog.
It's Enema Man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. just look it up. It's funnier. It's pretty funny.
When I was Googling this, I found it on this website called Lukey Games.
Loogie, like hawking a loog?
Lukey. L-U-K-I-E.
Okay.
And literally, it's a game selling site for old games. And this isn't worth talking about for very long. However, if you buy it from Lukey, you're awarded Lukey points.
Oh, fun.
Like there's all this stuff about the game, you know, the price, all these things. You can add to your wish list, ships in 24 hours, but there's a little box that says Lukey points. 11 Lukey points will be awarded to you when you buy this game. Do you like collect Lukey points as well? I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you can actually convert those. They have a deal with Delta where you can turn those into miles.
Delta miles?
Yeah.
Yeah. Delta miles and Lukey points, the conversion chart.
Yeah, it's 500 miles to one Lukey point.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta go to Japan for buying a copy of Quattro Adventure.
Yeah.
There's also some good GameFAQ stuff on this.
Yeah. The less said about that crazy message board entry that is so racist, I'm not even going to. So, okay, somebody wrote in this incredibly racist patois. I'm not going to repeat it, except it includes in the hood, yo.
Yeah.
So there we go.
It's But then the person Minor Dog 66 is like, I don't know about that, but it is quite nostalgic and fun.
Yeah, that's the only reason why I excerpted this.
I'm into Minor Dog 66's response there. Like, good dog.
just smiling, nodding, like, well, you know, I'm not just, that's a little silly, but I can agree. Like, it is a good game.
Like, well, I don't know about that. I'll leave that to the courts to decide. The reviews, ePoetker is fucking mad.
Yeah.
Off his fucking mind. Like,
oh, he's got an axe to grind. He picked up our axe from anime and Star Wars, and he's sharpened that up.
And he's going to put it into a little magazine. This is how he starts his thing too. Yep, a little magazine called Game Informer wrote such a wonderful review of this horrid little collection that I was actually motivated to spend money on the cart. Great. Instead of one average to above average game, I get four below average games.
What?
Unforgivable. Right before Nintendo was about to die.
These things look and play much more like Atari rather than Nintendo games.
Yeah. Music? Yerg!
And if there's one thing anybody who's read my reviews has learned, it's don't piss me off when it comes to music. Score's already fallen down to a 5. And the next point slide is... to a 5. I think he's working on a 10-point scale. I think they had to...
Is this your first rodeo? Okay, yeah, down to a 5.
But I love this guy working on the math, like, oh man, we've already
as we go. If there's one thing anyone who's really has learned, good, I'll keep that in mind, sir.
If there's one thing I've learned about ePoetker, it's that he has written a guide for Shinobi, that he's reviewed Disney's Little Mermaid, and do not fuck with him vis-a-vis music.
Not fuck with me about music. and it seems like he has fine opinions other than this. He hates Deadly Towers, hates, you know,
right,
North Star, but you gotta leave my Quattro boys alone. A lot of his reviews are very animate like this. His review for Blasto is kill it. It's like, you think these are dictated? Cool.
You're sending him off to Amazon Mechanical Turk.
Yeah.
Battletoads and Double Dragon, 5 hearts. Sweet!
Yeah, he's in a mechanical lung and he's just like typing as hard as he can.
He's your Divey Bell and Butterfly.
Yeah, yep. He's the girl and the squid, or whatever that thing about the kid jacking off was about, was it?
The squid and the whale?
There we go. That's what I was thinking about. That has something to do with that.
I don't know. I just, that's the closest thing to what you said.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's what I call foreplay. Yeah. Never mind. That's the title.
I get it. Wow. Our friend ePoetker reviewed the NES, the testing ground for all the best ideas in video gaming. Gameplay. First, the controller. 2 main action buttons. 1 enormously intuitive control pad, and 2 extra buttons in the middle for peripheral functions.
This is enormously controllable.
Enormously intuitive control
pad. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. He also makes the definitive review for Final Fantasy Tactics. I should probably read that as a fan of that game.
Oh no, I mean, like, it just, we're gonna,
it is definitive.
We need to go back and need to revise our
episode. Yeah. It's almost like these are all part of the way he introduces all these. It's like, it's all part of one gigantic session. Like, this is part of his memoirs.
Oh yeah.
This is now for a review of, you know,
was I ambivalent about RoboTrack for the Super Nintendo? You bet your ass I was.
You bet I was. That's when I was seeing a girl named Starla.
Man. Yeah. When it comes to Secret of Mana, the kid stays in the picture.
Review of EVO. This is the title of the review. This creature can evolve himself into a super being without reproducing. Kind of like Doomsday.
Oh, cool.
From Death of Superman?
Hey, Gary, this was written in May of 2001. What was Doomsday up to around that time?
I don't know. He'd already killed Superman.
Right.
For those of you who haven't followed Superman comic books, Doomsday is a maniacal killing machine who could evolve to meet any attack used against him. Good. Yeah, what are you talking about? ePoetker, man. ePoetker.
Wow, this guy has a fucking boner for both Battletoads and Double Dragon.
Yeah, but never the twain shall meet.
Oh, definitely the twain shall meet.
And yes, it's true. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, and his Tetris review is also about Russians winning the Cold War, bringing it all back.
What the fuck?
Wait, what? This isn't the same guy.
No, it? No. It's
okay. Yeah, that was.
I mean,
that was
like, it's the cheapest, easiest joke you could make about a game that came from true. Russia.
It would just be what a coincidence.
Yeah. Oh, he reviewed Willow.
Willow's good.
Yeah.
Tell me he didn't say anything bad about Willow.
No, oh, he gave it 4 out of 5.
Thank God. And the title, Suck It, General Kale. Anybody else want to call me Peck?
Hey, Gary. Hey,
he's writing fan fiction.
Hey, Gary.
Title.
Is that from Willow? I have no idea. And neither does anybody else who's listening.
The characters are.
Okay.
But that's who's the perspective? Is that written from Willow's perspective? Because I can't imagine our beautiful boy Warwick Davis ever saying "Suck it, General Kale." Anyone? Yeah. And General Kale didn't call him Pack. Actually, it was Matt Mortigan who did that. God damn it! I'm gonna write this guy an email. Hold on a second.
Okay. No. Send him a game fax message.
Let me see if I can.
Yeah. No.
I mean, only if he has his email. I can't. Yeah, I don't have a game fax account. Cool.
After 4 years, you haven't dove in.
It seems like we both should, right? Like we should do a special report at some point.
I am thoroughly embedded. Like you have jokingly read a couple of my reviews, and you have no idea.
the poet Kerr, and the K stands for cool. Yeah. There's no email here, so I can't correct him about his Willow lore. But sadly, you know, and I never will be able to.
No.
Yeah. So that's Quattro Adventure. That's Willow.
Yeah. It was good. None of these games would have stood on their own for an episode as an NES cart, but together they formed a cohesive whole, except for Dizzy. I still have no goodwill in my heart for Dizzy.
I don't have any goodwill for Dizzy. I don't, I'm, this isn't a story or anything. It's not worth delaying the end of the episode, but I don't know how I got this. Like it's like, I don't remember having memory of it. It just kind of like came with my body. it was duct taped to my back.
It was your starting artifact.
Camera, yeah. Yeah. My mom chose this for me instead of the Twin Humanities. Like
the master
I just
key.
Yeah. Yeah. But I just had it. It's always been. You know, I have no idea how it happened to it either. Like it was like a hotak. It just came and went in my life.
Whew.
Yeah. Goodbye, Quattro Adventure.
Well, I'm happy that I got to play Robin Hood, Super Robin Hood. Yeah, that was a neat little game.
Pretty fun. That game would kill on Game Boy. Mm. Like it's like a Game Boy experience, I think, just because it's like that the kind of lowered Game Boy expectations.
Oh yeah.
Really fun.
Yeah.
I suggested this.
Yes, you did. Nobody else did.
Yeah. If you like the show, you can support us by going to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yeah.
It's a huge help.
It really is.
Yeah, you can get bonus episodes of this per month. You can have the joy of supporting us. You get access to our Slack channel. Lots of things, lots of different rewards. Go ahead and take a look.
Yeah. The special episodes are some of the best stuff we do, I think. We're not intentionally hiding the good stuff behind a paywall, but that is just a way to encourage you to, you know, either become a patron at that level or go to duckfeed.tv/store. The season 2 of Exquisite Suffering is going to be available by the time this comes out. So check that out. The old episodes are available at a discount, for that, mm-hmm. which is nice. So go ahead and check those out.
It is weird how that happens. Cause we don't do that on purpose at all.
No.
Like the idea of like the, you know, the good episodes, but some of the best episodes I think are these.
Yeah. Yeah. So, if I can make some recommendations, like the 50 Cent Blood on the Sand is
That's
still
real fun.
Like all time.
Yeah. I think that's some of our finest work.
Yeah.
What else can they do cool?
Check out the Diggity Duck bundle again at duckfeed.tv/store. I know we've talked about it a lot, but by this point I'm sure that we've sold plenty of them, and again there's some good stuff in there. You can get 12 episodes, 10 hours of content from across all the shows on the network, supporting some great causes.
Yeah, absolutely. And then ratings, reviews, things like that are very appreciated. As well as telling friends, talking about it on social media, things like that.
Yeah.
I think that's probably about it.
Just about.
Until next time, who's Four Dog?
Yep. Why not?
Yeah. I don't have anything better. That's sadly.
Who are those two dogs?
There we go. Who is Two True Dogs? Two to the second power dog. Power dog.
Oh god, I want a pet power dog.
That's how you get his power.
Yeah,
you gotta rub him and get the static electricity, and then you become Ernest Goes to Jail and fucking shit things up.